Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 3 for Spring Semester 2012. Lecture 11, delivered on February 21, 2012. The title of this lecture is Practicum in Financial Analysis.
Today, Financial Analysis Practicum. We are going to go through some key ratios with Costco for its last three fiscal years. The first, and we're going to look at ratios, but we're also, more importantly, going to look at changes in ratios, because that's where we find out where things have been moving, where things are going. And of course, we recognize that in the case of Costco, the most recent annual data we have is for the period ending August 28, 2011. So this is somewhat old data, and you would probably want to reach out and see what you could do about getting more current data, maybe comparing quarters. Here's the danger with quarters, though. Well, let me ask you, what would be the problem with looking quarter to quarter at ratios? Yeah. Seasonality of sales, some kind of cyclicality of sales is one. Also, they are more likely to be affected by just a bump in the road, some kind of a surprise out of nowhere, that just something that happened, some unexpected event that cost them some money or something like that. So we'll look at this. We'll use the annuals, but the big time is right after companies' annuals have been published. That's when you do the real financial analysis. And then you track it quarter to quarter as you can, recognizing the problem. So on this one for Costco, we look at total revenue. And I have on the worksheet that I handed out for you a line for total revenue. We go for 2011. Oh, these dates are wrong. I do apologize. That should be 2011, 2010, 2009. Just be glad I'm in the 21st century now, okay? And notice that it's backwards on my sheets versus the financial statements. But we're going to write down the revenues for 2009, 71,422. 71,422, and then we're going to go to the next year, which would be 77,946. 77,946, and then 2011, we would get 88,915. Now we're going to go back through right here before we go any further, and everyone has his or her own way of doing this. I sometimes will calculate a percentage change. Instead of getting all the basic ratios and numbers down, I'll do percentage changes by row as I'm going along. And in this case, I'm going to do that. Now, you need to make sure that you can get the answer that I'm getting here. Remember that whenever I do a percentage change, I do end minus begin, all divided by the begin, and then you times it by 100 for a percent, if it's a percentage. And all changes are percentages. So we're going to have, in this case, we're going to have for 2009 to 2010, we'll do 77,946 minus 71,422. Well, that sucked. 71,422. And then we take all of that and we divide it by 71,422. And then we multiply it by 100. And you get 9.13%. It's a positive. 9.13%. Put the positive or the negative down, because it can be either and it helps you to see it. And again, two decimal places as a percentage. Your reporting answer, regardless of whether it's a multiple or a percentage or whatever, is two or a dollar amount is two decimal places for reporting. Always in my classes. Okay, now we'll go and do the revenue for the next one. And we go for 2010, so we'll do 88,915 less 77,946. And we'll take all of that divided by the beginning 77,946. And then we'll go times that by 100. And we get for the change percent change in revenue from 2009 to 2000, I'm sorry, from 2010 to 2011, 14.07%, and that is, again, a positive. So right off the bat, we can see that revenue, sales, have risen in both years, and they rose more in the last year than in the year previous. That is partly an... Okay. Here's good news. What would you say was a characteristic of the 2009 to 2010 period? Economically, in terms of the macroeconomy, was that a good time or a bad time? No, that wasn't a bad time. That was zombie apocalypse time. That sucked. That was the worst recession since the Great Depression. And we have a company here that had a 9% growth in revenues during the depth of the recession. That was good news. Now, in the period from 2010 to 2011, that would have been from August of 2009, actually. No, that would have been from August. Yeah, that would have been still pretty seriously in the recession. We were beginning to pull out of it. The early signs were there, and I actually wrote about this in late 2009, I think it was, in September of 2009, that we were beginning to see the recovery from the recession forming. I got some hate mail for that. No, no, it's not over. But I was seeing some very good signs, and here's a company that was leading us out of the recession. Look at this. In the period from 2010 to 2011, this company had revenues rise 14%. So it was pulling up hard and early out of the recession. That's a good sign for any company that it is able to do that. It had a robust lead on it. And that should also give you an indication for later analysis, too. All through business, we look for trendsetters, for leaders, for what in farm and old terms is called the bellwether. The bellwether was a sheep that led the pack. We look for those leaders, and so we see something here. We'd obviously want to look for more information about it, but Costco looks to be a kind of company that might be one of those that we kind of look at and say, all right, what are they doing? That might give us an indication of what other companies will be doing in 6 to 12 months, how they'll be faring. So we see that Costco was pulling out of the doldrums. It never really was in the doldrums that badly, but it was pulling out well before the recession ended. And so that gives us an indication this is the kind of company we might want to keep our eye on. And certainly we don't do it with one company. We have kind of a little package of companies. We say they're going to be possible leaders wherever we're going in the economy. So maybe we ought to keep an eye on them to give us an idea of where everyone else is. Now, net income. I didn't even flip that over. Apologies for that. So there you are. There's revenue. Now let's go down to net income. And this is where I get into some other things that become kind of interesting. Okay, let me scroll down here. We're looking at the financials. There's our net income for the 3 years. So we go 2009, 108.6, 108.6, and we go to 2010, and we've got 1303, and we go to fiscal 2011 ending. Net income from continuing ops was 1462. And now I'll flip back over to the document camera here. And now we're going to see what the percentage changes are. This is important because we're going to see something interesting in relation to the change in net revenue. In revenue. Okay. Cranking this out. And I can't see where the darn right now. Okay. 2009 to 2010, we take 13... Oh, wait. 03 and minus the begin, which would be 1086. And then we take all of that divided by the beginning value, 1086, where we started. And then we'll times that by 100. Is that right? What? Oh, no, that comes under my ass. It is. Did you get 19.98%? Positive. This, by the way, is why I do it like this. I do it with here so that you're seeing my reaction. Wait a minute, can that be right? Wait, I guess it is. Okay, now I can start to think about it, but I want to get the other one done first. So I'm going to do 1462 less 1303, and then I divide that by 1303, and then I times it by 100. 12.20. First things first. Interestingly, revenue went up. Ah! Oh, for a minute I thought I was having a flashback to the 60s. Okay, shut up. Revenue went up more in the last year than in the year previous. Net income boosted less. So that's an interesting situation in and of itself. What would be the cause of that? Why would it be that revenue powered up out of the recession, just pulled up hard, but at the same time, net income lagged coming up? Just pull something out of your ass. Just think of something. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh,
I love it when you talk like that. Dinner, Denny's tonight. Barry Manilow music. Okay. No, that's a very good thing. They came out of the recession like Courage Wolf. Go out of recession, spend money to make more money later. They weren't afraid. They just, all right, we're going to spend some money here. We're coming out. We can see we're coming out. This is actually a good time to start investing. Why would it be a good time to invest if you had the money or if you had the guts to invest? Why would it be good to invest as the recession is still flopping along? Go. What? What specifically is cheap? You can make deals, yes. What else? There's something else that's very cheap. Go.
I was going to say it's just the hybrid.
Cost of capital is cheap. Cost of capital. You see, interest rates have sunk. No one's borrowing at the banks because companies are still suffering. So I would say, yeah, if I can invest, hell, the worst times in the world are the best times to invest. Now, think about it this way. You've achieved your dream. You're living in a really nice neighborhood. You've got a great job. And you've got friends all through the neighborhood, and they're all going into bankruptcy. They're losing their homes. You're going to be sad that they're gone. But wouldn't it be nice if you could buy their homes real cheap? Yeah. It sounds crude, but in the worst of times, if you've got the money to do it, take advantage of the situation. Grab the cheap capital, grab the cheap assets, and go with it, because it's dead. The economy's dead. This is the best time to buy, is during these times. As a matter of fact, there's a related concept in. Does this say? This is cool. Strangers in the night. Oh, sorry. I can't. I'm sorry. I gotta do this. I started echoing like that. I thought, is this death coming? Or am I thinking it's that, echoey thing when you think and you're not talking? Gee, I should have used Wonder Bread today. In investment, there's a way of investing called dollar averaging. And a lot of basic investors, it's really easy to do. Essentially, you invest the same amount of money, absolute dollars, every month or every quarter. You put in, let's say, $500 into the stock market. What that does is when stock prices are low, you're buying lots of stock. But when stock prices go up, the $500 doesn't buy as much stock. So essentially what you're doing is you're buying a larger volume of securities when the economy is down and buying less when the economy is up. That's the same concept behind what's going on here. To some extent, this company is reaching out when assets are cheap, when it's cheap to borrow money, when it is advantageous because no one else is out there competing on the landscape with you. And you can, even if you're building, you've got workers who are desperate for jobs. So, hell, screw them. You want to work for union wages? You want a job? How about $5 an hour? That sounds cruel, but that's probably right along the line of what you said. Okay. Now let's talk about gross margin. Gross margin here. If we go back up here, mother's work is never done. Okay, gross profit. We went 9087 pulled up to 9951. Whoa, that's a hard up. Okay, 11176. Okay, so now I'll flip it back over here so we can look at the calculations going. Okay, now we'll do 2009 to 2010, the percentage change in gross margin, 9951. And again, make sure you get the numbers I get. Once you get the hang of this, this is really easy to do. It actually gives you some useful knowledge. And then we divide that 9951 less 9087, and then we divide that by 9087. So we get a 9.5% increase, and that's a positive again, 9.5% increase in gross margin. What was in that?
What's up?
What was in that?
It was chicken.
It was chicken. I saw something else in there, too.
It's also pasta. You want some?
Let me try that. I don't know where your lips have been, but, this is damn good. Oh, baby carrots. I love baby carrots. Did you, sneeze in that? No, seriously, Noob. There was some kind of, chunky thing.
It might have been food.
Okay. I'm good. Where the hell was I? Okay. Now we'll do 11176. No, seriously, there was something really chewy in there. 5-1. And so for the next two pair of years, the percentage change was 12.31%, positive 12.31%. Now, there are all kinds of ways that you can take this. Realistically, what you do is you do these numbers, and then you just kind of sift through and you think about things. I can see that their gross margin improved, which means that they were saving money on cost of goods sold. In other words, they weren't spending as much of revenue as a percentage on cost of goods sold in the more recent year. They were firming up, probably through negotiations, deals, they could get things a little cheaper. Who knows? What's interesting to me is that I look at gross margin against net income. Gross margin was improving not as much. Gross, they're doing good on cost of goods sold there in that second year. But let's go to operating margin. Let's see what after they spend their money on their salaries and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to look at their operating margins. The operating, operating income. Okay, 1777 for 2009. I did something wrong there, didn't I? You see what I did wrong there? Huh. I'm going to strike that out. Because I want to look at gross margin, not gross income. I want to look at the margin. Remember, the gross margin is gross income. Over sales. So to get the gross margin, I would have to do net income over sales. I wrote the actual gross income, not the gross margin there. So I'm going to have to go back and recalculate those. So the gross margins for those 3 years there, looking at these numbers, gross profit over sales would be for 2009, gross profit, 11,176. 11,176 divided by 88,915. That gets me 12.57% there. So that gross margin is 12.57%. Right there, 12.57%. And then for the next year, the gross margin would be gross profit, 9,951 divided by sales would be 77,946. 12.77%. And I'll flip this over here. And then the gross margin for 2011 fiscal would be 9087 divided by 71,422, 12.72%. So their gross margin held solid, if I did those calculations right. Look at that. I mean, those gross margins are tight on. Did I do something wrong here? 2011 would be 11,176 divided by 88,915, 12.56. Oh, you're right. I did do those backwards. After I preached to you about that,
I did it backwards. So that's 7-2 right there, and that's 5-6 right there.
Let me rewrite this real quick here, hammer that out. Get those numbers corrected for you. So 1.422 plus 9.13%, 77946, positive 14.07%, and then 88915, then 1086, 1086 plus 19.98. 1303, positive 12.20%, and then 1462, and then 12.72, positive 12.72%, and then positive 12.77%. And then positive 12.56%. That should be right. I apologize for that. But that's why I do it. So if I make a mistake, you see it. See how easy it is to make mistakes. Now, in a case like this, see how small these changes are? It's almost, in a way, not worth it to bother with the percentage changes in the ratio from year to year. But there is a practical reason for it. I'm going to take from 2009 to 2010 and see what it looks like. It's probably going to be a small change in percentage terms, but it's worth it to see. So I'm going to take 12.77 minus 12.72% equals divided by 12.72%. And I get a percentage change that is positive 0.39%, a third of a percent change. That's tight. That's amazing. The other one, though, is a little bit more notable, if I'm guessing. The next one from 2010 to 2011, the change in net margin or in gross margin is 12.56 minus 12.77 divided by 12.77. Oh, well, spank me Buddha. Oh, that's negative 1.6%. So they lost about a little more than a 1.5% on net, on gross margin. That's a little bit noticeable. It's nothing to be worried about too much, but it's something that I might want to keep an eye on, that they lost a little on gross margin there as a percentage. Now, operating margin is your operating income. Operating income divided by your total revenue. So for 2009, operating income 1777 minus revenue 71422. So divide. 1777 divided by revenue of 71422. So my operating revenue, ooh, that sucks. Operating margin for 2009 was 2.49%. Now I go to the next year, 2010, 2077 divided by the revenue for that year, 77,946, 2.66%,
It's a positive.
And then for 2011 end of fiscal, we had operating income 2439 divided by 88915, 2.74.
Positive 2.74%.
So their operating margin improved year over year. So what they lost on gross margin, they seem to have achieved savings in the selling and administrative expenses realm. So we'll just do these changes here just to see what happens. 2.66 minus 2.49 equals, divided by 2.49, and I get a 6. Really? Let's try that again. 2.66% minus 2.49%, all of that divided by 2.49%, well, I'll be darned. So their operating margin actually improved percentage-wise by 6.83%. It doesn't look like that, does it? But it actually, as a percentage change, their operating margin firmed up by almost 7%. So I'm doing the next one. From 2.66% up to 2.74%, we have 2.74 less 2.66 equals divided by 2.66, and we get a further improvement, not as dramatic, but still an improvement of 3.01%. Rounded to two decimal places. So their operating margin is improving. And now finally we can look at their net margin, which would be net income over revenue. Net income over revenue. Now in this one, I'm going to do 2009. Net income was, if you'll go back here, net income is 108.6. Divided by your sales for the year, 71,422. You get net margin 2009 positive 1.52%. For 2010 net margin, 2010 your net margin was 13. Let me scoot this down so you can see. Was 1303 divided by the revenue 77,946. 77,946. 1.67%. And then finally, for the last year, 2011. We have net income is 1462 divided by the revenue 88915, 1.64%. So there you are. Their net margin firmed up from 2009 to 2010 fiscal. But then it just eased a fraction back on the last swing. Doing the ratio, doing the percentage changes real quick, I do 1.67 minus 1.52 equals divided by 1.52, and I get 9.87%. Really?
That's actually a pretty decent jump as a percentage.
And then for the net for this one, the last one, 1.64 minus 1.67, I was hoping I'd get to this, equals divided by 1.67. So in this last year, they gave up about 1.80% on net margin. They slid a little bit. Not huge, nothing to greatly worry about. Their net margin is still staying pretty strong. And by the way, notice these net margins. They actually kind of suck compared to other industries. But that's this business, highly competitive. You're going to live on very small amounts of profit as a result of sales. That's why you need massive amounts of sales to make big money. In a case like this, 1.52% margin, net margin, would kill a company like My Little Studio. But if it's on a company the scale of Costco, they can be happy with that because they have, what, $71 billion in revenue. That kind of stuff is okay for them to have these narrow margins, just like oil companies, just like a lot of huge companies. They have very small margins, but because their volume of business, the sheer size of their revenue base is so huge, they do quite okay, and they're the love children of Wall Street. Now, as far as other ratios go, and again, I encourage you to have these ratios available for you. They're the ones on page, if I'm not mistaken, 116, 117. I encourage you to have those ratios at your hand. Don't try to memorize them unless that's your kind of thing, if that's the way you get people to like you at parties. But return on assets is net income over total assets. And I'll do those for you here. And then I'm going to encourage you to get the rest of it done on your own, just so you can have a chance to work on these yourself. And then these questions will be the subject of a quiz that I'll give you specifically for this company. But for return on assets, this is one where you have to flip between two sheets. Like, for example, return on assets, we're going to need to know net income for 2009, 108.6. That gets us that. Then we have to flip over to the balance sheet, and we look for total assets, 21,979. So we're going to take the net income. You know, this net income, 108.6. And then we're going to divide that by the total assets for 2009, which are 21,979. And we get a 4.94% ROA for 2009. 4.94% ROA. Now we're going to go on to 2010 here. We're going to find the net income was 1303 divided by the total assets, which would be 23,815. And I get 5.47%. I'm not even going to write the positives on these. And finally, for 2011, I'm going to go get the net income again. 2011 was 1462 divided by, get the total assets again here, 26,761. 5.47. Now, flipping it back over to the document. It's
obvious that this one's going to be at 0%. Their ROA did not go up at all. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Doing it for the 2009 to 2010, 5.47 minus 4.94, all that divided by 4.94, that's a 10.73% increase. 10.73% increase in ROA. How do I interpret that? Well, it's just one of those things. They're obviously earning money on their assets. To some extent, I might be a little bit worried. That's a small return on assets. That'd be less than you could get in an old-fashioned savings account. But at the same time, this was a company in a recession, and also this is a safe bet company. It's a pretty sure thing that those assets are going to be there, that there's not much risk in it. So I'm not really bothered by it, although I am a little bit weirded by how it just stayed flat, ROA did, from 2010 to 2011. That could go back to the fact that they invested in capital in 2010, 2011. During fiscal 2011, they were investing in capital. That would increase their asset base, which would tend to make their return on assets lower because the denominator of the ROA is bigger. That might explain what happened there. They just were taking advantage of the opportunity, building the capital base, so all those new assets weren't returning as much as they will later. That's probably what was going on. Now, as you go back down through this grinder, you're going to get the ROE, current, quick. You remember that I taught you the burn ratio, just cash and marketable securities over your total liabilities, debt to total assets. And when we get back together on Thursday, we're just going to talk our way through this and figure out what this company is telling us about its future. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.